Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence being very, very quiet, as are the rest of the team, because we've got Paul on the panel today, and he's fallen asleep. So we're just going to sneak the headphones on him and play the guitars on 3, 2, 1.
Ah! Morning, Paul! Morning, everybody!
Hey, morning.
Yes, good morning. How are we all doing? Oh, that's not what I want to hear from a nice, bright and effervescent panel. Try that again. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
We're going to build up in time. Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Ewan Spence here for the Eurovision Insight Daily Chat Show coming to you from Düsseldorf, www.escinsight.com. As always, I'm joined
by Charlene Wright.
And you're awake.
I am awake.
Right, we're going to go around a panel. We have 6 today, so much for yesterday being the biggest panel that I was ever going to do. We managed to rub some stones together and make it slightly bigger. And so, we're going to run around the panel, introduce everybody, give Paul a chance to wake up. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hello, good morning.
Yeah,
good
remember morning. To use the microphone.
Thank you.
Rough night?
No, just the usual, you know.
Been just drinking. The usual. Eurovision. We will come on to that later because I do want to talk about the sort of nightlife and all the great paraphernalia is built up around the contest. So we'll come on to that later.
Okay.
But also the tech rehearsals yesterday as well. We've now been through the tech rehearsals for the first half of the second semi-final. We're going to, again, ask the panel what the best things were out of that. And we're going to ask them to be pretty brief on this one. It's also a tough one because we had 9 going up yesterday. Was it 9 or 10, Luke?
9.
It was 9. We have 6 panelists and we're going to ask them to each pick out something that was good that happened yesterday, just as a bit of a challenge, because it might be quite difficult. Paul puts his hands up in the air and wants to go first. So there we go. Paul Jordan, Eurovision Research Network, Jukebox Jury Judge, and an academic.
Yes. You almost make me sound intelligent. Yes, Cyprus. I thought it was fantastic yesterday. It was very surprising because I didn't rate the song at all, but the actual live performance and the way it's staged is quite haunting, actually. I loved it.
And that, you know, they still need a little bit of work, a little bit of dry ice over there to cover up the panels. And they always say it's never over until the fat lady sings. I think what they actually mean is it's never over until the fat lady swings.
Well, Elaine's not sang yet, but...
Speaking of Elaine, also joining us on the panel, and if anybody's listening, it would be second-degree manslaughter, not murder. It was a reaction to Paul. Welcome, Elaine Dove. Elaine, I have to say, that is a stunning, stunning outfit for a breakfast chat show.
I know, I thought I'd be a visual delight for everybody's morning. It's a shame we're on radio, but there's nothing wrong with describing things.
Well, you know, I could get in trouble with some of the language I could use for that. We're talking, what, pink flannelette, we're talking close-in 30s stitching, you know, we're talking like duffel buttons the shape of Paddington Bear's coat. It's quite stylish pyjamas, isn't it?
You can't beat a bit of Betty Boop in the morning.
You can if you're Paul.
Well, yeah, true.
So, from rehearsals yesterday...
Again, I have to say Cyprus was a surprise for me. Austria was very good. If I go between the two, I would like to be the Cypriot woman because she gets to swing a big ball above her head and that was fabulous.
And it's probably one of the few people that's using that front stage so far that's actually making good use of it. I mean, I think there's one country that runs out.
It's Croatia.
Looks great for these things. Croatia runs out, but they've really decided to use it.
Yes, it's really, really good. It's caused a bit of a nightmare for people trying to record the rehearsal because they don't have the technology that obviously the guys producing the show do. But on screen, it looks fabulous. Yeah.
Very few people in the hall can cast a vote that counts. All the people on the TV, they're the ones that count. And that's what I think the show from Cyprus is aimed for. Let's bring him in now. Luke Fisher, as always from ESC Daily, who was just here to pick up his bags.
Yes.
And decided to stay.
I can't keep away from you, Ewan.
I know. Now you have to tell me something good about the first half of the second semi-final rehearsals.
Yeah, I'm going to carry on really. Cyprus was good. Austria, slightly biased with Austria, but I thought they were very good as well. And Bosnia. Bosnia was brilliant. It's a long time ago, yesterday morning, first rehearsal. But Dino Merlin really was good. They've toned it down from the national final. He's acting his age a bit more.
Do you think that in the national final they just went, oh, we're through anyway, we'll just scare everybody?
No, I think just because of how huge he is in the Balkans, he can effectively do what he likes. And people may laugh at that kind of thing. But, you know.
We've got Paul and Elaine on the panel. They're going to laugh at the drop of a hat.
Yes, so as I said, Dino Merlin is, you know, pretty big down in the Balkans. And How he performs, that's how he performs. But he's had to tone it down now for Europe, who don't know who he is.
Now, Charlene, as you were looking at the Bosnian entry, which is, of course, Dino Marlins, and you weren't as impressed as Luke sounds.
I thought it was rather subdued a start for the actual contest. And it made Nadine Byler from Austria look fantastic when she came on stage, because she commanded the camera. She absolutely stormed it.
But would you prefer him to go back to the leg-stomping national final performance?
For an opening act? I think so.
But that's not... You can't do that. You can't stand there in a tweed jacket, a tie, looking, you know, quite grey-haired and past sort of 50, stamping your legs about like you're a child who can't get his own way.
Yeah, but it needs a little bit more energy on the opening, that's all.
I think he'll deliver. He's a pro.
There we go. There is, of course, more rehearsals still to go through, and it all there's two points it counts. There's the jury viewing, which is happening the night before the semi-finals. The jury will vote on that, and then there's the live voting. It's 50% each from the public and the juries to decide who goes through, so he's got a bit of time to raise his game. And let's introduce some new panelists now, and someone who's been a bit, I don't know if you've been anxious about turning up and not sure what to expect, but over from Ireland as Liam Whelan. Hello, Liam.
Hello, how are you?
So who are you working for this year at Eurovision?
Same as last year, Smooth Radio.
There we go. And UK radio station, and yes. And Ireland as well?
No. I'm from Ireland. I now live in UK.
Right then. So, are you Jedward or Blue?
Blue. Yay! Just backtrack and say that I'm glad Bosnia and Herzegovina have toned it down a little bit. I was worried that the Terry Wogans of the world would see him as a bit of a crazy man just jumping around the stage. And it's a fantastic song. He's a fantastic performer. And it's got a lot to offer, whereas if he's just stomping the foot like that, then, as I say, I was worried that they would just see him as a crazy old man. So
what else would you have highlights-wise from that batch?
From yesterday. I have to say Moldova, because the Georgian rehearsal was the point where I began to love the song, and yesterday the Moldovan rehearsal was the first time that I got to love the song, and it was very polished rehearsal, and it was lovely, and a lovely press conference. But it's not my favourite.
Oh, also from ESC Daily, who's going to be, shall we say that Luke's been subbing in for you for the first couple of days. That's fair, yes. See, that's how you play it, Luke. You build every other up and put yourself down like that. Emma Backfish joins us all the way from New York.
Hello, yes, I am. I'm here from New York.
Why is an American at Eurovision?
I mean, don't you have the
Super Bowl and Candy Staten and all of that?
Yeah, I guess I got a little sick of the Super Bowl. I had to come here and see all the glitter and the fabulous... camp entries from all around Europe.
Yeah, Paul's just over there if you're looking for camp entries. And for the record, Super Bowl, 106 million TV viewers. Eurovision, 125 million TV viewers. Take that, pigskin.
And nobody knows what it is in the States.
And nobody over here knows what American football is either.
That's a good thing.
Rugby with padding. So, highlights from yesterday.
I think I agree with Austria and Cyprus, but personally, I did like the Netherlands quite a bit. I'm a little worried about the outfits, though. I'm a little worried about the outfits from what we could see.
Yeah, I'm another fan of the Netherlands. I don't know what you thought, but I was just a bit disappointed in the lighting, actually. I didn't think I would ever know enough to comment on lighting on a stage, I must admit. But pink, yellow, and blue sort of candy lights really didn't sort of say soft rock pop to me. And when we were in the arena, there was quite a few people commenting on that the lighting and staging just seemed a bit inappropriate for the song.
It's actually a tribute to his hamster.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, see. That's what you can do, Luke. You can tell Elaine absolutely anything and she'll go for it. Great.
I thought the Turkish bowl would have been a tribute to a hamster, because the Turkish bowl just reminded me of my hamster.
See, that's what I mean, Luke. You can tell Elaine anything and Liam will believe
it. Who wants to see my hamster?
Paul, get back down. You cost David Elder such a good victory on No Pawn, because he had to carry your bonus over. You're minus 25 from yesterday's misbehaviour. Yeah, stop that. And also, finally, we've got six in today. It's our videographer, HD, looking at life through a lens. It's Robbie Williams. It's Stephen Newby.
Guten Morgen.
Would you like to be Robbie?
I wouldn't mind being in Robbie, no.
Nice. So, highlights from yesterday, because you've been sitting in on all the press conferences as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw a few rehearsals as well, actually. I was quite surprised by Belgium. I'm going to get slaughtered now.
Oh,
No, hold on. We don't know what he means. He might mean that he thought they were quite good and they disappointed him.
No. I thought there was less shit than I thought there would be.
Okay, take us through it then. Because Whitloof Bay are doing an a cappella number and, let's be honest, the rest of the panel are now throwing daggers at you.
I know that. Yeah,
so that's okay, though. Justify it.
I think that they came across very well. Well, let me rephrase that. I think they came across reasonably well, and I thought it would actually be a complete disaster from what I could see on this actual screen. I thought it was all right.
Can you see them qualifying?
No.
This is a fun one, because we've been talking about this before. Wouldn't it be fun if the first name out of the envelope was Belgium? And so it's like, really? How have they qualified?
Well, then I would cry. I really would cry. You know, it's... They're good. They do what they do. They're good at what they do. Does it float my boat? No.
So if Belgium qualified, the camera would pan into the green room to a row of empty seats. and the manager calling them back, get out of your car, come back.
Yes.
I liked today at the press conference, though. That was very lovely, even though it was sort of already done in Belgrade. But it was still very lovely.
But then they ruined it by singing their Eurovision song.
So there we go. Now, people who have been following Eurovision have a rough idea how the semi-final breaks down will realise that we've not yet mentioned one country, and that country is Sweden. Let's start off with the facts. What happened?
There's actually some contention over what happened. I know one thing, the glass didn't break.
Yes, the famous exploding glass box, which will shatter off at the end in a lovely note. The pyrotechnics, from what we can see, they did fire when they went to test it because we had the starring on one side panel, but there wasn't enough impact coming out of the detonation charges to actually shatter the first sheet of glass. And I think by that point, they then stopped the rest of the firing off, which led to the lovely impression of Marcel Marceau from Eric Saad as he went, oh, I'm in my box and it's still here.
I was speaking to Eric, the Swedish commentator, last night with Elaine, and the guy actually said to me that it's real glass. This is actual glass that they're using. So I don't know whether they're having to change the pyros as a result of that. I've no idea.
It could be that it could maybe got some sort of plastic sheeting on it, like to because you get safety glass in beer glasses.
Yeah.
Paul, you'll be aware of that coming from Glasgow. that shut off into quite large chunks that aren't sharp on the edges.
Yeah.
You know, that's still glass.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one because, you know, this is what a tech rehearsal is for. It's to find out where the problems are in the system. But, you know, in the case of Moldova, for example, you know, they've just got to work on camera angles, you know, blocking out parts of the stage and really working on the stage. So this puts Sweden behind the loop because they've still to test their big prop and check that it all works.
Yeah, they're going to have to run through it at least once in the next rehearsal. If it was me, I wouldn't want to only test that glass breaking once in a tech rehearsal.
Doing his bedroom.
Well... You know, I would want to test it at least twice in there, but it's only a half an hour rehearsal. But the more concerning thing for me yesterday was the whole vocal thing, which I'm sure we're going to come on to.
What I'm thinking is, but have Sweden achieved what most countries yesterday would like to achieve? What is the rehearsal everybody's talking about? What rehearsal's getting all the press? What got everybody excited yesterday? Sweden, Sweden, Sweden. I know it's a cliche, bad press. You don't get bad press, you get press. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone that's interested is going to be there first thing in the morning to see their second rehearsal.
And there's also, I mean, speaking to other people, that his Melody Festival and rehearsals weren't that polished as well for this number.
Yeah, but I still think we were talking about his mental fitness the other day. What does that do when he walks in there next time and goes up to the glass to wait for it to smash? You know, is it in his mind that this might not work and, okay, I've got to work my way out of it if it doesn't work?
And what's also likely to be in his mind is, we should have tested this already. We should know this works. I should be working on where I need to stand on stage to do my cheeky smile, to do the wink. The same things we were telling John Lilly Green. You know, John last year, we were saying, look, find the camera. And he was using those last rehearsals just to spot where a camera was so he could practice the look. Some countries now have that advantage. You know, Sweden have lost that advantage because they still have to do the big stuff. I take the point on press, and I'll take the point that the majority of people voting will never know that this tech rehearsal didn't work off unless their commentator tells them on the night. But at the same time, it puts them behind the loop, behind the timing curve, as it were. And I think that's the biggest loss.
And also, let's face it, had it been John Lilly Green, he'd have blooming well got out of there by himself. He'd have stuck the head on it. He'd have knocked the glass out himself and carried on.
Well, I, you know, just looking at that rehearsal yesterday and seeing it in between Moldova and Cyprus, the two of them looked so polished compared to what we saw with Sweden, where he looked like he was just in pain.
Liam.
Yes?
From other Eurovisions, have there been rehearsals that have been this poor the first run through that have actually caught up and come good on the night?
Yes, I think maybe Sweden is this year's Azerbaijan. Not getting things right at the beginning. Maybe are we all being too cruel? I mean, this is what rehearsals are for.
Well,
are we
Eurovision fans, of course we're being cruel.
A really good show when it's supposed to be a rehearsal. I want to know what's wrong with his shoulder as well.
That's an interesting one, because if you've been watching, the left shoulder's been held back very slightly.
And
Luke, you were speaking to the rest of the delegation on this one, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, the delegation are saying there is nothing wrong with his shoulder. That's the choreography. But I can't believe that. He was crouching down at the end of one of the rehearsals, holding his shoulder in pain. But the countries that have done this before, a classic example would be Denmark last year. Their second rehearsal was horrific. The floor manager came on and pointed out their camera shots to them, and they only ran through it twice. They qualified, and they were leading after the first two juries.
With Denmark, though, and you know, they had some performers that had a lot of stage time. You know, Saad is still, what, 19, Paul?
Yes.
Yes. I guessed you would know his age. I can't think why. You know, he doesn't have a lot of history in his head to fall back on when he's in a pressure situation like this. He's got a lot of pressure on him from Sweden because of the result last year and because of himself.
And Luke literally took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, Denmark last year, everyone was slating it. But on the night, they pulled it out of the bag. And I think he'll do the same. I think Liam is right. This is a rehearsal. It's his first rehearsal. And I think he's actually a professional. He's not an amateur. You know, he's a TV presenter, he's an actor. I think he's going to cope with a 3-minute song. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, if this was a couple of people that the BBC had picked in the sort of the graveyard slots that we had in the early 2000s and they'd had this rehearsal, we'd all be incredibly concerned. But he has got a TV background.
I think it's interesting, though. I think the last rehearsal that he had yesterday was actually okay. The ones in the middle seemed to be really rough, but then it sort of got a bit better towards the end, and I didn't think it was all that bad at that point.
I think at the end of the day, they're going to know all these problems, and they will pull through because they will work and work and work and work to make sure this pulls off. And I think when they do go out there on the night, it will come together very, very well.
My only concern is if he's ill, which is what the delegation was saying, that he lost his voice or something.
Everyone has a Eurovision cold, though.
He was sweating, etc. If that is true and not just a party line, there's recovery time involved, and he's got to be up at the crack of dawn on Saturday to get in and rehearse this.
Because he's up first or second,
at 10, so he's got to be in the arena by 7:45. So, you know, that's getting up at 7 at the latest. I just wonder if, you know, the schedule he's had in Sweden now, are they going to let him go back and lay down for the next 3 days? Or is he going to have to be getting his face in, doing interviews and that kind of stuff? It'll be interesting to see how the delegation plays it.
Well, we will find all of that out going forward. Certainly, they have caught the headlines, and they've injected a bit of drama as well. I think the rehearsals so far have been so polished, so accurate, that it was literally just going through it, and now it's just like, aha, they got to work on that. And it gives a little bit of a throughput, a bit of story, and a bit of emotion. And, you know, part of that song contest is the sort of stuff that's going on.
How we're talking about Sweden. Ireland rehearsing today. Now, that's one we should really be concerned about.
Yeah, let's briefly do on that one, but we do have Keith Mills on tomorrow, so I want to hold off most of the Ireland discussion until then. I just love the fact that they've switched round essentially the backing singers and the vocalists. You know, Jedwards are a six-piece. You know, yes, there's John and Edwards, the dancers, and then there are two female backing singers, and then there's the two lead singers further back in the stage. I think it's a masterpiece of deception. And the fact that everybody's now concentrating on the dancers and leaving the singers to get on with the song in the background, not worry about the voice, performance, or any press or promotion duties. You know, I'm sure Eric Saad would love to be able just to take away all his PR duties and hand them to somebody else. So congratulations to Team Jedward on that one.
I also love about the Jedward song that they're preempting some of this, you know, bad press, say that Sweden get by actually having the lyrics saying, are we heading for a car crash? Unfortunately, it wasn't just a car. It was a bus, a train, a tram.
Do you want to talk about... Yes, yeah. Okay. Liam wants to talk about the sandbox. And you have to say...
It got a very hard time yesterday. Yes. But I mean, come on.
Let's picture the scene. This is Ukraine's song, Mika Newton, for Angel. Ukraine, of course... Everybody was hoping that they would send Jamala and Smile, but they haven't. They sent Mika Newton, and big, massive prop in the back is actually a sandpit.
I do not know why she is dressed like Mystic Meg, but I do love the idea of the sand. I mean, the contest is screwed from the day it started. It's a song contest, but it's on television. Of course it has to be visual. And it's a lovely, lovely idea. It's something that's never been done before, so why not?
What was very amusing is it looks fabulous on the back screen when you're watching it, but if you actually watch her on the stage doing what she's doing, you're expecting her to go, salt and vinegar on your chips, love.
I mean, I don't think I noticed her at all during that her rehearsals yesterday at all. I was just watching the sand.
Everybody,
I think that's everybody's just going to be watching the screen in the back of her and not paying attention to
that'd
the song.
That'd be more entertaining than the song, though, to be fair.
So. I think it'd be interesting to extrapolate the people, if we were able to do this, that listen to the song and vote on the radio performance as opposed to the TV performance and see what the actual effect of the sandbox will make. And I think it will be, as we've all kind of highlighted, a bit of a disaster for those that haven't got the visual cues there in front of them.
But let's face it, when in the last couple of years have Ukraine ever focused on the song? You know, even in their national final, even
when it comes,
but last year they had a national final, so they selected a song. No, we're not looking at that song. Here's another one. No, we're not looking at that song. We're going to this one. You know, so no, they didn't look at the song in the national final. They looked at another song in the national final. But the nightlife, right? Hold on, Liam. We got everything done now. You happy? You've happy? You've got the box mentioned.
Yeah,
we've talked about your box.
Yeah. Right then, nightlife. Because nightlife, I think, is one of the big killers, not just for the performers. I mean, Alex Sparrow enjoying the Euroclub. Glenn Vella very much enjoying the Euroclub, so much for his 8 hours sleep that he's getting every night. But at the same time, it's also something for the fans, and we got to drag you all out of bed in the morning, like Paul, like late. And it keeps everybody up till late. And then everybody's up again at 7, 8 o'clock to get ready to go for the performances. There's this huge bubble around Eurovision that's cultural, that's entertainment, that's party, let's be honest, has nothing to do with the 3-hour live concert performance. I mean, it's one of these things that's built up over the last five or 10 years, really.
Absolutely, and it's fantastic. It's an amazing atmosphere, but I mean, it's day 3 or 4 now. I'm starting to feel a bit rough. And it's funny, I was talking to Elaine the other day. You wouldn't go... Oh yes, I look rough as well.
You look rough on day one, honey.
What's your excuse? But you wouldn't go out on 15 consecutive nights out. And that's what I need to remember, to try and take it easy. But do you know what? It's great fun, great atmosphere. And it's just as well I don't drink, because otherwise I would never get up in the morning.
No, it's also a chance for... the press and fans to see the participants in a more relaxed atmosphere. And like last night, when Stella Mwenge came in, Habba Habba came on, the Norwegian flags were up in the air. It looked fabulous. Everyone was doing the dance. You know, teach the press a dance at the press conference. It'll be dance for a fortnight. And it was fabulous. Really, really good fun. Yes, we got the Maltese song 2 or 3 times. They're a bit like last year's Moldova. God love them. But everyone's having a good time. And, you know, we're partying hard. We're working hard. I've made it. I've been last out the Euroclub every night. I've been to every first rehearsal. How long can it go on?
And the interesting thing here is, Elaine, this is the first year that you've really had to get up and do work during the day. Previously, you were doing 3 minutes on a breakfast show that was phoned back to the UK for 2 weeks. It's a little bit harder with Keith Mills being your boss, isn't it?
It certainly is. But on the other hand, I used to get a hard time for not being up, but I didn't have to be up, whereas I'm enjoying being up now. I'm enjoying going to my work.
Ah, there we go. So anyway... Oh, don't do that. This bit. Look, I was going to be nice and go, look, if anybody out there is looking for a hard, conscientious copywriter that would like to employ Elaine somewhere in Scotland, she's going to be available from May the 15th. It's going to do a nice call out to see if I could get her a job.
I apologise.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing my current redundancy issue into the podcast. Cheers, you man.
Well, you know, it's like, there's so many people listening. Maybe somebody out there has a job for you.
Yeah, and a house and a sugar daddy and all sorts of all the things that go with it, please.
Indeed. Well, you know, sugar daddy's at Eurovision. Might be a tough challenge. He's still got 10 days. That party scene, though, it has me. Of course, it's there because we've got to be here so early to give everybody 3:30 minutes on stage and all the dress rehearsals. It's a natural byproduct of what's coming up. But does it damage the artists that they have to go out and do all these runs? We've touched on that already at the start of the show, but, you know, when they've got this stuff going right through past midnight.
Yes, I mean, we've talked about her in previous podcasts, but Niamh last year got the balance wrong. She was going out too much and lost her voice. And that's the danger you've got. You've got to strike a balance between getting your face out and sort of, you know, showing your face, sorry, is the expression I'm looking for, and resting yourself and actually remembering, I'm here for a 3-minute or a 6-minute performance, not here to go out every night.
But I think part of it, though, is being out and being visible. And as much as Niamh did a voice in, but I think, you know, so she maybe over-rehearsed or she sang, she strained her voice, but, you know, she was there, she was visible, she was great with the fans. And you don't have to drink, you know, you don't have to get steaming every night. You can still go out and have a good one.
It sounds like you're telling yourself something there, Paul.
I would argue, though, because I don't drink and I was out till about 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I'm already struggling with my voice. So it's a case that you just, a lot of energy, obviously long, long days, getting up in the morning, working again. It's going to damage you no matter what, whether you drink, you smoke, whatever.
I'm quite surprised by Mr. Finland, actually. I've seen him, what, 3 consecutive nights now he's been out, and I think he's obviously not tanking it up every night. But
I don't think he's actually left the nice, comfortable wall that he's found at the Euro Club either, but he's got 10 nights.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think he will pace himself. But I think maybe he's trying to get away from this image that he's this boring guy that goes and does nothing. So, I don't know. It's nice to see him.
Just speaking about Niamh again, Eurovision.tv did a little interview with every singer walking into the opening party last year, and everybody's clip was about 2 seconds long. It was, what's your favourite drink? And everyone had a 2-second answer, but Niamh's answer was about 5 minutes long. Well, for this I drink that, and then I'm just, and she's just still talking. Fab.
So there's a lot going on, and of course we start now to go into the sort of official parties. We have the welcome ceremony this Saturday coming up, which is all nice shirts and bow ties and get yourself all dolled up and go on, Elaine, go in your pyjamas to the welcome party.
Oh. I actually think they would get a lot of attention. They're fabulous, are they not?
Trust me, you haven't seen a real dress. I think that's probably preferable.
It says, trust me, I'm single.
Another little advert from you out there.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm quite happy going the fact that I'm a lonely spinster with nobody to go home to, but don't mention the redundancy.
I just say, Elaine was one of the best dressed at last year's opening party.
Thank you very much, Liam, and that outfit might be making another appearance.
So there we go. What we do know is making an appearance today, we've mentioned them already, is Jedward, but we have 9 others going up. It's the last batch of technical rehearsals for the second half of the second semi-final. After that, we just have the big 5 to go through. Clock and tape is running out, so let's quickly go around. Sentence each, what are you most looking forward to today? Liam, let's start with you.
I am looking forward to Jedward, but I'm wondering if the pressure is on and if it will all be a bit of a disappointment.
For me, this will only be my 4th year, I'm looking forward to Dana International because I was not around in her first time, so I'm really looking forward to the manicness.
You stole mine there, actually. Dana for me as well. Actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing Dana. She was a disaster, I think, in the national final, and it'll be interesting to see whether we've turned that around in the, 6-7 weeks since we've had that.
It means learning to sing. I'm looking forward to Estonia. I can't wait.
Paul is looking forward to the country that he's doing his dissertation on. That's not a big surprise. Luke?
I'm looking forward to Denmark today. I think that's the dark horse we're all thinking about that could possibly win.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I want to see if it's changed from the national final. I want to see if they have taken everyone's advice online and actually kicked it up a notch at the end.
Or have they kept the balls as well? That's what I want to know.
I've got to remember, of course, Turkey have that as well, so there might be a bit of duplication almost in the plot with props going in the background.
Yeah, I'm with them on Denmark. I think it's definitely a dark horse contender, so it would be interesting to see that today.
So there we go. That's your Eurovision chat for today. I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Charlene Wright.
And we've had our panellists, all of them, thank you very much for coming along. Little plugs for the website as we go down the line. Luke and Emma can do it together.
YesDaily.com.
It looks just like Kylie and Jason. There's the awkwardness. There's the I'm never going there in public. No. We also have Elaine Dove.
Allkindsofeverything.ie.
And Stephen Newby.
ESCinsights.com.
And Paul Jordan.
EurovisionResearch.net.
And Liam Whelan.
I'm going to give a plug to Hass's blog on the ogae.co.uk site.
Yeah, there we go. There, thank you all very much for listening. Luke, you've got to fly back to the UK now, haven't you?
Yes, for 30 hours.
For 30 hours.
I'm back Friday morning.
Back for...
Will you pop into Tesco for me?
Yeah, what do you want?
I'll tell you later.
Okay, some value biscuits. Value biscuits.
Value biscuits, absolutely.
Yeah, value biscuits. Can't think why we'd want...
Other supermarkets do exist.
Yes, indeed, because Tesco aren't supporting us. But if they would, get in touch. Ewan@escinsight.com. Also, if you're a competing brand or you want to just leave your comments as well and don't want to leave them on the website or on Facebook, it would be much appreciated. We'll be back here same time, same place, same RSS feed, same iTunes location tomorrow. We're off into the arena now to find out what sort of a mess the Tiger wheelchair, laser-wielding, death-defying, smoke-doing Louis Walsh has decided to put together for John Edward and the four main singers in the background whose name I have no idea. But for now, Emma, what do we do now?
I don't know. What do we do? Ketos? Oh, guitars.